Good afternoon. Welcome to the Minnesota Housing Policy Committee. We are going to begin the meeting. We do have a quorum. We have a bill that is before us today. That's House File 1175, Representative Wagenius.
Chairman, could the commissioner come and join us? While he's getting here, I would like to move House File 1175, be recommended to pass and send to the city, a committee on civil law.
To civil law?
Yes, if you could.
All right, thank you.
And members, I also have an amendment that is technical to, there were some things that needed to be cleaned up. This was done by Mr. Sullivan. And I think the only thing that is not totally technical is if there's a contested case hearing, it would go appropriately to the Office of Administrative Hearings rather than to district court. But that is the normal practice anyway, so that's a clarification from my point of view. So with that, I would like to move Amendment A1.
Okay, so would you just move the thank you. So this is the H1175A1 amendment that's been moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I am just pleased. No.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I am pleased to bring this bill to you on behalf of our governor, and would like to have the commissioner talk about what he has done to bring this whole issue up to this bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Dave Fredrickson, Commissioner of Agriculture. Is it picking up from here?
I think we're picking that up. But
picking up him.
Sure.
It seems.
Sure. Well, again, thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. Thank you, Representative Wagenius, for bringing forth the Minnesota Ag Water Quality Certification Program. I know that Assistant Commissioner Wallman was here a few weeks back and presented in a discussion forum, I guess, the premise behind Minnesota Ag Water Quality Certification, but let me quickly go back to the day that Secretary Vilsack and Governor Dayton and Administrator Lisa Jackson from the EPA came to Minnesota to sign a memo of understanding, which is clearly just that, an agreement to sit down and work on an issue, particularly this issue that relates to water quality in Minnesota. And, of course, the outgrowth of that was the MOU that directed the department, along with the Department of Natural Resources, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and the Board of Soil Water Conservation, Bowser Board, and the Department of Agriculture to move forward. What we did then was very quickly went to Chapter 15 and organized an advisory group to advise the commissioner on the proper steps to take as we move forward with our language. We did and had representatives of each of the commodity groups, general farm organizations, conservation organizations, environmental organizations, and we went up to 15, which the Chapter 15 allows, and had a series of discussions with the advisory group, and basically took their recommendation and now have inserted those recommendations in to House File 1175 to move forward with. I am of the opinion that we have some water quality issues across the state. We have some water management issues across the state. If you pick up the paper on a nearly weekly basis, we see commentary that that relates to that. Interestingly enough, we're going through a drought situation now, but as those of us who have spent many, many years on the farm, you know that that can very quickly turn into too much rain. So in this situation, I think it's imperative that agriculture be part of the solution. And this program is a clearly voluntary approach. And so if folks don't want to involve themselves in the program, they shouldn't do it. We would encourage them certainly to participate and play a role in focusing on ag water quality across and also water management across the state. I serve on the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture board. There are 50 of us that represent states across the nation. I sat alongside my colleagues from Illinois and my colleagues from Missouri last year when we had excessive water rolling through those states. And I'm here to tell you they're not happy when they have to breach the dike and flood thousands of acres of their own cropland. I serve also with the Commissioner of Agriculture from Louisiana, Michael Strain, and of course they are not going to sit around and say, go ahead and send whatever you have on down the Mississippi River. I also serve as the governor's representative on the Upper Mississippi River Basin Association and chair of that five-state organization, and water quality and water management issues are constantly in front of us, particularly as it relates to the Upper Mississippi. And so I'm pleased that we were able to bring the stakeholder group together, 15 members, and all agree that the principles that you'll find in this 1175 were all agreed upon by the stakeholders. I recognize that and have had it said to me on many occasions by my friends around the table and my friends in the audience that we're concerned that voluntary programs very quickly turn into regulatory programs. I'm concerned if we don't embrace a voluntary program that somewhere down the line a mandatory program could be in the offing. And so I think this is our opportunity to step up, utilizing federal resources, utilizing state resources, to move forward with the program that we can proudly say within a couple, 3 years, we've made a difference in water quality in Minnesota, and we've made a difference in water management in the state of Minnesota. So with that, I'm sure that my friends and colleagues on the committee have more than one question to lay out on the table, and I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there questions? Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for being here as well. Today, you know, reading through the recommendations from the advisory committee, and we're talking initially about a three-year program, a pilot program, 3 year, and you know, there's some concern about the need for the detailed language and to put this into statute at this time as we're working on this pilot project. And I know that myself and Representative Torkelson were meeting with the department yesterday to talk about some of the concerns within the bill and then seeing whether or not we'd be able to work together to address those concerns before committee today. And one example would be, in the event an individual enrolls in the program and owns ground and then would go out and rent a piece of ground, if that landowner says, for whatever reason, absolutely not, I don't want to be any part of this program, then that producer then is either going to have to give up that land, that rented land, or be subject to being kicked out of this program entirely and pay back all the money that they received. And so we were thinking that it could be a simple fix, if you will, for lack of better words, I guess, to be able to have some type of leeway there that wouldn't kick that producer out of this program completely. And we were hoping that we'd be able to get some agreement and buy-in, and that's one example.
Well,
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, I would never do that. If a farmer had owned, let's say, 640 acres and rented 200, and the father-in-law owned 40 of that. And the father-in-law said, the mole board plow is the only way to go on my land, my 40 acres. Even though you own 600 acres or six whatever, I would never, ever allow that to be the one thing that would kick that person out of a program. I just wouldn't do that. And I, you know, I wouldn't.
Representative Hamilton?
And I don't think we need to address it in 1175 at this point in time.
And Madam Chair and Commissioner, thank you for that. It is the way that we read here. It is to where that individual could potentially be kicked out of there. And we understand what the position that you have on that. But as we all know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring and if any of us are going to be around. And so that would be the next commissioner then could subsequently do the very thing that we just mentioned. And so there was a few things that we wanted to bring forward and to address. And like I said, I see Representative Torkelson's in the audience here. And when we were having these conversations yesterday, we took a look at a hard look at the final recommendations of the committee. And we were asking why the final recommendations weren't reflected in the way the bill that it was written. And we embraced and agree with the certainty piece. We raised our concerns early on. But we're saying that certainty piece, the certification instrument, is also the something that we agree upon, the certification procedures, as long as we address the rent to own, the data privacy piece, the reports and the grants. There are many things that we were, I think, in agreement of embracing the bill. The concerns that were raised were making sure that we recognize the committee's recommendations here, recognizing that the committee's recommendations also had this as a three-year program, a pilot program. So keeping it temporary in nature while we're doing this pilot program, embrace the other pieces of the bill while we're, I guess, bringing more information forward, reporting back to the committee on an annual basis, and that way we can continue to gather support as we move forward. And I was hoping that we would get the department's understanding and agreement on that, and I did draft some amendments on those earlier discussions, but I guess, Commissioner, I want to know if the department is willing to recognize that and embrace some of our questions and concerns, or if it's just no, the bill is as it is, and into discussion, if you will.
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, I support 1175. I haven't seen, if you have amendments, of course, you're totally capable of introducing any and all amendments. That's not my my position here, and so if you have them, I'd take a look at them.
And
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd ask, the amendments did go out, and so if we could get the Commissioner a copy of the amendment, and we do have a DE1 amendment there, and again, Commissioner, and I don't know, Madam Chair, if it would be appropriate at this time to move the DE1 amendment so that we could discuss it, or would it be better just to walk through it initially? Oh, yeah.
First of all, does everyone have the DE1 amendment? No, it was distributed, I believe, but not everybody has it, maybe?
Madam Chair, I believe we've got the DE1 amendments here. Do we want to finish taking public testimony on the bill as introduced first?
And Madam Chair?
Yes, I believe that's, I mean, we will have the commissioner, I will see if there are any other questions, I think, first, just if there's anything in general. I want to make sure everybody has what we're going to be having before us, though. I think there's at least another question, but I just want to make sure that, okay, we will eventually be getting to these amendments, but I think there are four or five of them. So as we go through, we just need to make sure everybody has them, okay? At this point, I think Representative Hamilton has a clarifying question for the commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner, going back to the one example that I gave about kicking an individual out of the program in its entirety if they're not able to sign up that rented land, the way that I read it on lines 3.31, halfway through that sentence after the comma, it says the producer must notify a certifying agent and obtain certification on additional land within 1 year in order to maintain the producer's original certification. So the way that language reads then, Commissioner, like you said, you would never throw anybody out of the program, but the way the bill reads that they're automatically thrown out of the program in the event they do not enroll that land, with the word must there, like I said, on line 3.31. And so it comes back to my earlier comment, Madam Chair and Commissioner, that what we're wanting to do is embrace many things in this bill and recognize the advisory committee's recommendations as well and embrace them. And I think that's what we're trying to capture in the DE1 amendment and the conversations yesterday with the department in my office, and I believe in Representative Torkelson's office as well.
Commissioner, that question.
I don't believe, Madam Chair and Representative Hamilton, I wasn't at those meetings, and so I don't know if anyone agreed to those provisions at that time, but I surely did. Secondarily, if I could just follow up.
Yes, Commissioner.
The final recommendations of the committee were to recommend that certification apply to the entire farm operation. Now, even though that's the recommendation, I am uncomfortable with the scenario that I just put out there, but I don't believe that I need guidance in terms of how to handle that. I am, as I indicated to you, I'm totally aware of that and never throw somebody out of the program because of that situation.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Hamilton.
And thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, and I understand. It comes down to what the bill in front of us says, and it does on line 3.31 say must. And it goes on to say, in order to stay in the program, they must enroll. And in the scenario that we gave you, they're, by law, if we pass this, they will indeed be kicked out of the program and subsequent to any of the dollars that they would have to pay back. And that's where yesterday, like you said, you weren't in that meeting and Commissioner was not at that meeting. We did have some members from the department, and they did not agree to the change. They did say they did agree that they would work with us on this, and they were willing to work with us on this. And if that's not the case, just say it. And we do have the amendments before us. And like I said, we're wanting to embrace this. I think the ag groups are as well. I don't want to speak for all of them, of course, wanting to do this. And there are many things in the bill that we want to embrace as well. And I think as we're trying to build this, develop it, embrace it, and get buy-in, we need to do some more work as far as the outreach, designing the program. Let's let the pilot programs work. And that way we can bring forth collectively bring forth a workable program that everybody can get behind. I mean, if we pass this into law right now and with the words must and some of these other things there, you know, right away you start getting some flags going up. So,
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, this is a voluntary program. If you don't want to be part of it, people don't have to be part of it. It's voluntary. It's not mandatory. And let's go back to my original example of the farmer who owns 600 acres and rents a couple of hundred, and 40 of it is by your dad-in-law who said, I want to farm the old-fashioned way. What if it were the flip side of it? And you own 40 acres and you tighten that up, but you have 600 acres. What do we do with that? That they don't want to abide by the program. Do I have to, you know, again, apply the same rule to them?
Yeah. And
Representative Hamilton.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, that question was brought up in my office, and I said, this is a voluntary program.
Thank you.
And to that comment. And that's where if an individual wants to sign up the land that he owns is not willing or able on the other side, then should they be kicked out entirely? I don't think so. Because we're talking about, one, he's a landowner, and so he's making the decisions. They're making the decisions for that land. The other one, they're renters, and they're not making all the decisions entirely. And so I think that if they want to enroll the land that they have direct oversight on, should we exclude them? I don't think that we should if they're willing to do that.
Commissioner.
My personal opinion.
Okay. All right. Representative Anderson, did you have
a... Thanks. I can always have a comment.
Madam Chair. I thought you'd raise your hand.
To the point of Representative Hamilton, I think the way the language is written now, if I were a producer that rented land, it would be an absolute no that I would not want to enter into this because of that confusion, mixed language. You won't be the Ag Commissioner forever. Whoever is in that position may decide to kick people out if they rent land and don't want to enroll it. So to me, if I were a renter, it's very uncomfortable having that in there, and it almost precludes a person who rents land from even wanting to be in this program. And I don't think that's the intent. We want to have more participation, but the way it's written, it really is a negative aspect on this rented land piece.
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, you know, first of all, we can't address the 80,000 farms in Minnesota. We don't have the resources, obviously, to do all of that. And so what I'm hoping that we do is we in these three pilot areas that we find folks that fit the description, that work very well within these pilot programs. That's my hope. If we had, millions of dollars to enhance best management practices all across the state of Minnesota, yeah, I think that would be a concern. But at this point in time, I just don't see that as a roadblock to implementing a successful program in ag water quality certification.
Representative Johnson.
Madam Chairman, just in response to Representative Hamilton's concern, the law seems to allow for what the commissioner is suggesting, that the commissioner may terminate the certification. And it seems to me the commissioner is clear that in cases like that, those extreme cases, he would not. He may, or implied, of course, is that he may not. So the protection is in the law.
All right. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And nice to see you, Commissioner Fredrickson.
Good to see you, Representative Keel.
Thank you. I'm wondering, when this was discussed in the pilot area, or the areas that you went and visited, you presented this, my understanding is there was one in Kirkston?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I wasn't there, but
okay.
I believe you were at
Kirkston. Good, okay. My question is, do you know how many actual farmers showed up and heard this program and the response?
Yeah, it was, it was not a huge turnout. We did the best we could advertising the meeting, but I think Crookston was probably one of the four.
Six.
Six.
Representative? Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My understanding is two of them were not connected to any government agency. Anyway, but I'm concerned about what their response was. They have any? Were they encouraged? You know, interested in doing it, or is this something that we're putting out there that won't be addressed?
Madam Chair, Representative Peel, could I yield to my colleague?
Yes.
Brad Redland.
Welcome to the committee. Just identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is Brad Redland, Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Yes, I attended each of the six listening sessions that we had. Madam Chair, Representative, throughout the state, including Vancouver, Crookston, we employed technology that allows producers and attendees to click in answers to certain select responses, questions that we posed to them. We have a total tally on that being assembled right now. The response that we received in terms of one question is that would producers be inclined to participate in this project that was available in their area? The number one response we received was need more information. The number two response we received was would be very likely to participate.
All right. Other questions?
Well, I recognize your point, Madam Chair and Representative Keel, but, you know, I find it difficult to judge a program by the number of people that happen to show up at a meeting, and recognizing that we had a really poor turnout in that part of the state. I've worked with the farm organizations for many, many years, and I'm ashamed to tell you that I attended a meeting put on by myself and nobody showed up. And so I try not to be disheartened.
Representative Keel.
And I made the coffee and the cookies.
Well, there you go.
That's right. There they went. That's right.
Commissioner Fredrickson, don't feel alone. I've been there, done that too.
It's, I'm liking it to the Gunsmoke show, and when they opened it up, for those of you that are old enough to remember the radio show, it said being the marshal of Dodge City is a chancy job and it makes a man a little lonely. So that's the way I felt at those meetings.
Right. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for your wise counsel in Gunsmoke. So, but anyway, a question, or at least the thought that I bring up is first of all, I haven't heard anybody discussing whether or not we disagreed with dealing something with our water issue and the quality of water. And so I want, at least in a bipartisan way, bring us back together is that I don't think anybody disagrees what we're attempting to do. Some of the amendments and discussions here are ways in which collectively we're trying to make it better. And so if we could get away from understanding that these are not attacks against the water quality, but rather that we are really trying to pull together a bill that will work not only now but in the future, and how do we do it best for all of the constituency, including all the farmers, maybe we can see that some of these ideas might be okay for us to implement, and it's not really a personal attack or whatever. It's just a common thought.
Commissioner, any comments?
No, okay. Thank you.
All right, Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. We had an earlier meeting on this a couple days ago or a week ago, and one of the deputies was there, and I asked if they could provide the committee with a list of regulations going back 10 years that would have been impacted had this program been in place.
Actually, Madam Chair,
yes,
or Representative Anderson, we only have one deputy, and that's Jim Borbom, and we have two assistant commissioners. That's Commissioner Wollman and Commissioner Wilson, for the record.
Yes. Okay, Representative.
I don't want to hang out Borbom.
Okay. I apologize for that. It was somebody from your department, then, I'll say, who
Well, there were 120 people there. Who was it?
Representative Anderson.
I don't recall his name. He was testifying.
Was it Woolman? It was probably Matt Woolman.
Okay, yeah. And I asked if he could go back 10 years and find any regulations that would have been affected had this program been in effect 10 years ago. That was my question to him.
Commissioner.
How did he answer, Madam Chair?
Representative Anderson.
As I recall, he said he would attempt to get it or try to get it. I assumed he would look into it, I guess. Maybe I was wrong to make that assumption.
Commissioner.
Again, Madam Chair, Representative Anderson. Again.
Okay. We do have some amendments that I think we... Representative Falk, did you have...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you want to ask for any public testimony? Was there any to speak to the bill before we get to amendments?
Certainly, we can do that. Anyone that would like to speak about House File 1175 as it is at this point, that has been amended, but it is at this point, want to come down, come forward? Otherwise, we will... Thank you. Otherwise, we're going to... I think I'm going to start... Representative Faust has, I think, the shortest one here, and we're going to start with that one.
Thank you.
That, I believe, is the A8.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A8 amendment.
Okay, now I'll ask again. Does everyone have the A8 amendment? It's just very brief, but... I'm going to ask Representative Faust if he wants to speak to the amendment.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The only concern that I really have in this paragraph in line 1.13 is that this whole sentence, starting with the program, at the end of it, it says that the, or in the middle of it, it says that at such time the commissioner, and so I just want to make sure that the program remains voluntary forever, and that the part that the commissioner can change is that it's from the selected watersheds to the statewide program. I'm 100% sure that's the intent, but I've run into situations in the past where they have wording like this, and 5 years later they say, oh, no, we can do it because it says so right here. And so I just want to make sure that we clarify that. I don't think it changes the intent at all, and so I think it should be a very simple, easy amendment.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The intention is for it to be voluntary. This is a fairly technical amendment, and I would accept it.
Thank you
very much. Any other discussion?
I think we still have to vote on it.
Yes. Oh, thank you. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, nay. Motion fails. That amendment is adopted. We have other amendments that we have before us. I'm not sure if... Are there other amendments that...
Madam Chair.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will offer up the DE1 amendment. And it goes back to the comments that I mentioned earlier about keeping this temporary in nature, recognizing that it's a three-year program, address the committee recommendations, and have them report back to the legislature on an annual basis. It still recognizes the certainty piece, the certification instruments as well, and as far as the program components, the data privacy, the eligible land, and the reporting. And you know, coming back to I thank Representative Johnson for bringing that up as well. And this is the whole point that I'm trying to make with the language as it is. It is very confusing. I mean, if you read that through in its entirety, on lines 3.31, it talks about it must notify certified an agent and obtain certification. It reads on, in order to maintain the producer's original certification. And now the commissioner was talking about, once again, that, and I believe when he says he wouldn't kick people out and everything else, but again, the way it's written, it's very, very confusing. And with the concerns that are around it, again, my whole intent on this is to keep it temporary in nature, embrace the hard work of the committee, and pull out the things within the language as the bill was introduced. And so that's the, I guess, the intent of the DE amendment. And Madam Chair, I ask for a roll call.
All right. And Representative Wagenius.
Madam Chair, I would ask members to vote no on this amendment. I do not see a way to establish certification in this draft of the amendment. So the thing that we would be offering that is of value to a farmer besides the dollars is not there. So essentially, this amendment says, yes, we would like the dollars in the farm community, which is fine. And for those dollars, we want to be, and if you'll turn on the back page to 2.5, in turn for giving the dollars to us, we would like you to also say that we, the farmer, are exempt from any rule issued by any state agency for the duration of the certification, which is not established in here. So if we want to avoid mush, we cannot vote for this amendment. It doesn't make sense. And so I would ask you to vote no.
All right. And Commissioner, do you have comments about the amendment? No. All right. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Chair. Madam Chair, I also would urge a no vote on this. This is really a two-year program. We have to refund the money, or somebody has to come back here 2 years from now and refund the money. And I guess the other issues, I think that you have raised some good issues, Representative Hamilton, but I will trust the commissioner at his word, that, and I believe that he'll be commissioner for the next 2 years. So I think as long as we're giving this program life, he'll be there. And so I think this it's fine the way it is, and I don't think we need to do this.
All right.
Madam Chair, I turned 69 last Saturday, so I can't really guarantee that I'll be
so.
All right. Any further discussion? This is the
Madam Chair.
Representative Hamilton.
Yeah, I was talking to you. I was, as far as the, I believe I know where this is going, but I want it accurate. I would like to add from the original bill section 3 into the DE amendment.
I'm going to ask Mr. Sullivan to give an explanation of what that is.
Madam Chair and members, the amendment would insert the language from the original bill into the DE amendment as a new subdivision 7 at the end. It would insert the language from the bill requiring a certification instrument that would be used to determine if applicant farmers are eligible for the program or not. I can, if members want, I could read the language from Section 3 into the record, but essentially the language would be from the bill, Section 3 on lines 2.16 to line 2.28.
Are there any questions about what this amendment is? Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We still would ask you to vote no. You could add this language to the amendment, but it doesn't solve many of the problems of the amendment. It doesn't have rulemaking, so that there would be no way to do the actual certification that you are putting in Section 3. It does not have audits. And again, the upshot of this is to say we are going to give money to farmers who would like to have money, which is fine with me, but in return, that farmer would like to say, I want to be exempted from any new rule issued by any state agency. So that would include the health department. that doesn't make sense. I'd ask you to vote no.
All right, thank you. And I'm just, for clarification, you are seeking to modify or incorporate that into your original amendment. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, so the DE1, as amended, modified, is before us, and we have a roll call vote. So if the clerk will note the roll.
Poppy.
No.
Anderson.
Yes.
Dill.
No.
Erickson.
No.
Falk.
No.
Faust.
No.
Fitzsimmons.
Yes.
Fritz.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Hamilton.
Yes.
Keel.
Yes.
Kreisha.
Yes.
McNamer.
No.
Nornis.
Yes.
Petersburg.
Yes.
Wagenius.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Right, we have the bill before us still. 1175 is amended. Yes, Representative Wagenius.
Yes, I'd like to renew my motion.
Oh, Madam Chair. We have a couple more amendments yet for us.
Sorry.
Here, I'd like to offer the A2 amendment.
Okay. Representative Hamilton offers the A2 amendment.
And this is working off of the author's bill directly, but basically the gist of it is the same as the DE1 amendment, that this is, again, clarify that this is a piloted project for at least 3 years. And again, it recognizes what the final recommendations from the advisory committee, and I ask for a roll call.
All right. Representative Wagenius, did you have comments?
Members, I would ask you to vote no against this amendment, and it does not meet the criteria of the original bill, but I would bring two important things to you. One, the commissioner said it does not address the issue of someone who has 60 acres of land and that land is certified and then leases 1,000 acres that is uncertified, and we would be giving the benefits for all of that acreage. That is not fair to everyone else. And, of course, it still has that language of any rules issued by any state agency, which would include rules from the health department. And I'd ask you to vote no.
All right. Any other comments? All right. We have the roll call being requested on the A2 amendment, and the clerk will note the roll.
Poppy.
No.
Anderson.
Yes.
Dill.
No.
Erickson.
No.
Falk.
No.
Faust.
No.
Fitzsimmons.
Yes.
Fritz.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Hamilton.
Yes.
Keel.
Yes.
Kreisha.
Yes.
McNamer.
No.
Nornis.
Yes.
Petersburg.
Yes.
Wagenius.
No. I'm a no.
All right. There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted.
Madam Chair, I would like to renew my motion then. that House File 1175 be recommended to pass
roll call.
And to the Committee on Civil Law.
So the motion being renewed that House File 1175, as amended, be recommended to pass, be re-referred to Civil Law. A roll call has been requested, and the clerk will note the roll.
Poppy.
Aye.
Anderson.
No.
Dill. Erickson.
Yes.
Falk.
Aye.
Faust.
Yes.
Fitzsimmons.
No.
Fritz.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Hamilton.
No.
Keel.
No.
Krisha.
No.
McNamer.
Yes.
Nornis.
No.
Petersburg.
No.
Wagenius.
Yes.
And I changed to yes.
The votes being 9 ayes, 7 nays, the motion does prevail. The bill is passed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. We don't have it on the agenda, but we've all been anxiously awaiting. Representative Nornis will be giving his legislative district report. So I appreciate that we have the time to be able to do that today. And you should have in your packet information that previously was distributed, but it is two handouts, I believe, one on Otter Tail County and one that says Ag Committee 3603.
Do it.
That's about 42 minutes, I think, is you know what you have, Representative Nornis. So, go ahead with your presentation, please.
I think I had a better, you know, in my head, a better presentation yesterday. So just bear with me. I had another hearing today, waited all day for it, and then we ran out of time. So I've had a disappointing day so far.
Oh no.
So I'm really looking forward to this opportunity. So
thank you for your presentation.
Starting with my map. I have a better portion of Otter Tail County in the yellow. And it starts up here where Perham is located. How many of you have ever been to Otter Tail County or this area? Okay. So this is probably not new then. So Perham is here, Fergus Falls is down here. Those are the two largest communities in my district. So for me, if I was going to draw a legislative district, this would be perfect. This is what I would draw. Because it's balanced population-wise. We've got lakes. There's 1,043 lakes. I think that's the number. Not all in my district, but I've got what we call the premier lakes. Otter Tail Lake, West Battle Lake. Here's Lake Lida, Pelican Lake. And there's just a lot of opportunity there for recreation and just enjoyment. We got zebra mussels up here, for those of you, and that's an issue. And they're coming down the Pelican River, which runs right by my house. So we won't talk too much about that. But when it comes to agriculture, and the handout, I think, shows that when I was doing some research, I knew we had agriculture, I knew it was pretty significant, but I didn't know it was as significant as it turns out. And the figures I have are a couple of years old, but still pretty important. The one handout here has some graphs on it, and we'll just hurriedly go through that. But we are number one when it comes to beach cows in Otter County, and fifth when it comes to poultry, and sixth when it comes to just livestock. Yeah. We're also up there in horses, and I don't have any numbers, but I've been told we have more horses than cows now. So that's a very important thing. I mean, horses are really a popular thing right now. And so then, that's enough of the graph. You can look at it if you want to, but there's nothing more that I need to point out on it. To talk a little bit about the jobs that are really ag-related, that's the other handout I have here. And to begin with, we have an ethanol plant, one of the newer ones in the state. And that employs 42 people. That's an important part of our area because of the farmers have a good market. Unfortunately, this plant has been bankrupt once already, and so it has new owners, and so we understand the difficult nature of that business. But again, it's important for the farmers and others that it's around and that stay healthy. One of the major manufacturers in my district is the KLM Enterprises, which probably means nothing to most of you, but it translates into Barrel of Fun. Barrel of Fun is located in Perham. The Nelson family have created quite an empire. I don't remember the exact year, but it was in the 70s, later in the 70s. When Kenny Nelson took over his dad's dog food business, I think it was. Also, Tuffy's Dog Food is up there. And with 11 employees, started the potato chip business. And they now employ 1,300 people. And it's just phenomenal, that business. And not only the number of employees, but the way that the city and the community has benefited from his generosity. You can't find any place in the city of Perham that he hasn't been a part of and helped make it happen. From the new hospital to an interchange off Highway 10 that access now to the hospital. It's just great to see somebody that is so committed to his community. And now there's a third generation that's kind of taken over. Kenny is 70 and prefers golf more than. So that brings me up to one part of my presentation. I hesitated doing this too early because it would take your mind off me. But I have some Barrel of Fun products that Kennedy would.
Duffy's dog.
No, I couldn't find any. So there's a bag of liquid in there for everybody. There's some chips in there that you can pick from. There's one bag in there that I'm a little protective of. It's called Cucamonga Crunch, I think, or something like that. It's caramel corn with peanuts. And I didn't have enough for everybody, so you're just going to have to sample that if there's any.
Oh, do you want to? Here, let's pass that.
Yeah. So that's just for those of here. Yep. And not everybody can eat it, probably. You know, you got to have good teeth.
Which was share this ball?
So I know that would be a distraction, but anyway. Going back to my sheet here, in ag jobs, we have turkey production, which is a big deal, and it's about 160 jobs. But the biggest part of that is the turkey processing. And the Hormel company owns the processing plant in Pelican Rapids. So there's 670 jobs. That's part of that processing. We have a bakery in Curtis Falls that employs 100 people. And the bakery is owned by a company that you maybe have never heard of, but it's the world's largest baking company. It's called Bimbo.
Bimbo?
Yeah. But they are the world's largest baking company. I believe they're actually from Mexico. So they have our bakery that started out years ago as the Bunny Bread Bakery, which is locally owned, to be a Sara Lee Bakery, Now it's the bimbo victim. So I pick a different name myself.
Representative Nornes, you are saying bimbo?
Bimbo.
I'm just wanting to make sure I'm hearing it correctly, but
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. But that's 100 jobs.
Thank you.
And we like to keep them, it's an old bakery, and we want to keep them happy.
Sure.
Dairy is not as big as it used to be. There's only 55 jobs in the county. Our dairy closed quite some years ago, which is unfortunate. But now we get into more of the technical area. You see Quality Circuits on your list there. They make circuitry for different components or different products. But one of them is they make circuitry for the John Deere tractors and other instruments. So when you're doing all of the electronic stuff in your tractor, it's probably got a quality circuit in there doing it. They compete with China. I mean, that's back and forth. And John Deere has tried both. But when it comes, I mean, this Quality is the name of the company, but that's really the difference between what China can do and what Wayne and his family and employees can do. And then, in general, we have sugar beets. Most of those are to the west side of my district, down in the valley. The Red River Valley starts kind of on the edge of town. Okay. And as you go west part of the county is where the sugar beets are. We have a short line rail that runs from Curtis Falls up to Moorhead.
Yeah.
And it's the Red River, I forget what it's called now, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's part of the existing rail line that used to run from Curtis Falls to the south. And years ago, that was abandoned. So if you go south now, you're on a trail. You got to go by snowmobile or bike. But if you go north, that's the old rail line that's still available. And so they haul a lot of grain from our area. There's some very large grain capacity bins and storage. So they haul grain from Fergus and areas up to Moorhead where they connect with some of the bigger trains. And when they come back, they're hauling coal back to Curtis Falls, where Otterfield Power uses the coal to generate electricity.
Mm-hmm.
One of the real concerns that we have, Otterfield Power has been given until 2020 to operate the coal plant. If that coal plant either shuts down or switches to natural gas, and that coal business goes away, we lose our railroad. And then how do you transport all that grain that they haul? I mean, it's really a serious issue that has to be solved. We need to keep that rail line solvent somehow. So that's they're working on that right now. We have a large sales barn. Again, entrepreneurs, there's a guy that just loves to be in that business, and he does a good job. So if you're ever in Fergus, it's just to the west, and on Tuesdays they serve the best meals. Mm-hmm. They just can't beat their food. Mm. So some of us just go out there to eat. We don't need to buy anything. And it's kind of a gathering place for farmers. I know retired farmers who love to go out there because their friends and neighbors are still out there. So it's a gathering place. Then we have the Red Horse Ranch, which I think is real special. We're lucky. A family inherited a very large sum of money, and they decided this was their passion. So they built on a piece of ground this beautiful spread with a big indoor arena, outdoor arena, barns. They train horses, they board horses, they host all kinds of events out there, including fundraisers. Has nothing to do with horses sometimes. And so it's just a real nice asset for us, and that's located just to the northeast of Curtis Falls. And again, it's something that somebody did on their own. You know, the government didn't put a dime in it, it's all their money. And so they're reinvesting into something they really are passionate about. We have one other business that's agriculture, that hopefully this summer will take place, and that will be just north of Curtis Falls. We have a company that's, as soon as all of the funding is arranged, it looks very positive. They'll be growing indoor vegetables. There are vegetables indoors at the site, which is the latest technology. They'll grow one crop of lettuce every month. And so it's going to be really a very impressive. Not the first of its kind, but close. All grown indoors, without any soil. It's like a laboratory. And so I'll give you an update as soon as they break ground. But our co-op, electric co-op, is involved with that. It's in their service area. I mentioned the Red Horse Ranch. The people that own the Red Horse Ranch are building the building that's going to be located in. So that's their contribution to it. And so it's kind of a co-op effort to get this done. But they we're looking at another town. I won't tell you where. Was in Minnesota. But somehow our economic development director learned of this project, got involved, and when he was done, convinced them that this is a much better location for that project. So again, we're not only competing with other states, we compete within our state. And sometimes it's a little thing. And in this case, this is considered to be agriculture, and that made a big difference when it comes to taxes that we'll be paying.
Representative Anderson has a question.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Great presentation and very interesting. I have to ask, on the last thing you talked about, is that being done on a commercial scale, and are they doing it without any government credits or grants?
It is being done on a commercial scale. Yeah, this is a for-profit business. The only government involvement, I guess, would be through the REA, through they're getting a loan through some kind of, it's a federal loan of some kind, but it ties into Great River Energy, ties into Lake Region Co-op, so there's and that's really where the final pieces are being put together right now. So it will be partly funded through a federal loan. I can't tell you exactly what it is.
And we also have a question from Representative Hamilton.
Okay. Well, two questions. The first one, when are they breaking ground on that, and when do they expect to be completed?
Well, folks from Lake Region Co-op are just here this week. They're hoping this summer.
Okay.
And I'll certainly let you know when that happens.
Yeah. And then, Madam Chair, where's Big Pine Lake? Do you represent Big Pine Lake?
I got Little Pine.
You have Little Pine.
Representative Nornes.
Where's Perham?
Big Pine is right here.
Okay.
And Little Pine is right here.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hamilton.
We went up there, family and friends, went up there 6 years in a row and stayed on Big Pine Lake. It used to be, I think it was called Jungle Shores was the name of it, the resort. And we'd stay up there. And I actually bought our boat at Hoots. Do you have Hoots?
Hoots?
Yeah.
That's one of my...
Yeah. That's one of yours?
There's a campground at Big Pine Lake, too. It's the Golden Eagle campground if you're camping. They have a swimming pool and stuff. You know, when you go there, you don't need to go to the lake. You just go to the swimming pool.
Ah.
It's a beautiful area. Beautiful lake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's and I should point out that my son has a place right here. You know, when they drew these lines, they could have included that in the map. I could be living there.
Yes, you could. Representative Keel has a question.
I was going to ask where Loon Lake was. It's by Virgus.
Yes.
But it's in your district, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's right.
There's a bunch of loons.
here's
a main loon. Here's an east loon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
At any rate.
That's where the big loon is.
Keel.
Yeah, my brother has a resort there. Before he was farming with my dad, he and his wife bought a resort there, and they're there now. So,
I was going to include some information about Otterfield City, sure, which isn't in my district, but it's just to the east here. That's really, there's a story that's interesting there, because that was kind of the first settlement, one of the first settlements in the county. They had big plans. This was going to be the major city, and the railroad passed them up. So this is a town that started big and then literally died. Now it's back. And the one thing I haven't mentioned, dealing with Otterfield City, which is on the right here. No, it's up here. It's right by Otter Tail Lake. But Otter Tail City now hosts a place called Thumper Pond, which is the newest resort in the state of Minnesota. It's a place where you got a beautiful golf course, you got a hotel, you got an indoor water park, restaurant, the whole package. It's right by the lake. Not on the lake, it's by the lake.
Very good. I think Representative McNamer has a question.
Madam Chair, but you mentioned the possible loss of the railroad. And that is an economic hardship on rural communities, and I would hope we all would think of ways to keep those. I've seen towns die because of the loss of the railroad, and farmers have to truck their grains large distances, which just cuts in their profit. I would hope we'd all think of some way to help maintain every railroad in our state.
One thing I didn't mention, the ethanol plant also transports a lot of ethanol by the rail, so that is another use. But again, it takes the ethanol, it takes the grain, and it takes the coal to make that a viable business. And they employ a number of people, they do a tremendous job. And I'd suggest it make the rail, passenger service, to supplement,
yes.
To get go to Moorhead,
sure.
For whatever reason, and for Moorhead, come to Fergus.
Mm-hmm.
These tracks, I didn't realize, are all rated.
Oh.
We got a 10-mile-an-hour track.
Yep. Oh, they take a long time.
It'll take you all day to get there.
And
to be honest with you, there's not much scenery between Moorhead and Fergus. It's just more corn and flat ground. So.
Sure.
So that wasn't a good idea.
Well, Representative Kreisha.
Representative Nornes, thank you. And with the way your district is set up, if you slowed that train down to about like 1 mile, we could troll Rapla's all the way through.
As far as history goes, we had one of the biggest, most damaging tornadoes back in about 1919.
Oh.
It literally destroyed the town. There were 65 fatalities that day.
Ooh.
And so that's one of the things that, it was a bad day.
Yes.
Yeah. So, any other questions? I think I'm out of material. Did
excellent.
Get something to eat?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation, accommodating the time, and for the tweets. That was wonderful to, I appreciate that. And we have nothing further for us today, so meeting adjourned.